Welcome, everyone, to KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour here on KDVS, your campus and community radio station. Thanks very much for tuning in this afternoon. Boy, we've got a great show for you today. Monica Storrs is here in the studio. She'll be reading tonight as part of Bistro 33's ongoing Poetry Night reading series, which happens at the Great Bistro and also at the John Itzulis Gallery twice a month here in the city of Davis. Tonight, starting at 8:30, Monica Storrs will be joined by Stephen Gray and Sarah Page. Three poets for the price of nothing. So come on down if that's the sort of thing that interests you. That'll be at 8:30 tonight at Bistro 33. We're going to hear from Monica Storrs, talk to her about what she's been doing since she graduated from the creative writing program here at UC Davis and has moved on to cities that some would consider even more exciting than that of Davis, California. And then, in the second half of the program, we'll be joined on the live line by two poets, Lee Rossi and Terry Lucas. Both of them are reading this coming Sunday afternoon in Crockett. More details on that soon. And now, more jazz here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
This hour of KDVS programming is brought to you by Doctors Clinic for Men in Sacramento. Doctors Clinic for Men assists those unable to perform sexually to their own or partner's satisfaction. Treatments are offered which can resolve both premature ejaculation and erectile dysfunction. Doctors Clinic for Men's medication consists of only FDA-approved agents, and its staff has over 15 years' experience in this area of medicine. Confidential visits are conducted at the California Sutter Building, 28th and J Streets in Sacramento. The office can be reached at 916-551-1595 or toll-free at 877-493-8839. On the web at www.doctorsclinicformen.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis. Tonight is Poetry Night in the city of Davis. And the Poetry Night reading series at Bistro 33 tonight at 8:30 will feature Stephen Gray, Sarah Page, and Monica Storrs. Monica Storrs is a freelance literary publicist, teacher, and artist. She holds degrees from Paris University, Portland State University, and an MA in poetry from the University of California at Davis. She's the author of books, chapbooks, poems, and delightful stories, and she's right here to tell us some of them on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Monica, welcome back to the program.
Go Aggies.
Good to have you back. And great to have you back in Davis. You'll be reading tonight. It's one of your many triumphant homecomings to the city of Davis.
It is. It is. Davis feels like coming home every time.
Excellent. And you've still got friends here, so it's a good place for you to pit stop.
There's an amazing literary and artistic and counterculture community here. Davis is very, very blessed in its multitude.
Absolutely.
And diversity. Absolutely.
Definitely. So you'll be performing some poetry tonight. Are you more a San Franciscan these days? Are you a
Portlandian?
Portlandian? what are you calling home these days?
The Left Coast. We're going to classify me as a Left Coast writer. I split time between the San Francisco Bay Area and Portland, Oregon.
Excellent. How would you characterize, if we can get right to it, the differences in the poetry scenes between San Francisco and Portland?
As in Portland, I think partially because of the presence of Powell's books, there's kind of a larger view and a more acceptance of poetry and poetics. The Portland newspaper still runs a books. It's one of the few papers in the country that runs a book section and runs multiple poetry sections. Last week, the Sunday paper's big feature was about Gary Snyder when he was
great.
There, and they publish local people who send in their poetry all the time, and it's very, very thriving. Whereas in San Francisco, it's a little more specialized, what's a good way? Kind of, there's it's estimated there's 14 autonomous poetry scenes in San Francisco, and they don't mix and mingle. But in Portland, everybody mixes and mingles.
So it's fragmented somewhat.
Yes, yes.
All right. One moment. So with regard to the poetry scene, have you assigned yourself a title with regard to either poetry scene? By which I mean, some people are the mayors of poetry, the unacknowledged poets laureate, the spark plug of one particular school or another. And I'm wondering how you see yourself.
I would never be so self-aggrandizing to actually give myself a title. I have been the poet laureate of China Camp State Park, but that's another story for another time.
All right.
I think community building is the most important thing that we can do as writers, as readers, and just members of our own community is furthering and building that together. And I do freelance literary publicity, and that's one way to foster community and to bridge the gaps between all these disparate groups that think that perhaps they don't have something in common, but really they do.
Right. All right. Well, I think that's very important in terms of the publicity. That means that you're a bridge builder of sorts as well.
Yes. Yes.
Among different communities.
Yes.
Well, in terms of how you define yourself as a poet, and we talked about the multiple schools in San Francisco, I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about the training that you got in poetry here at UC Davis, and if that helped to extend who you were as a poet when you came into the program, or did it help you change course at all?
I would like to just make a disclaimer that UC Davis is not paying me to say this in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
The MA program here is stellar. It is. I have friends who've gone everywhere internationally, done PhDs specifically in creative writing, and have worked with emergent writers and very high-profile writers. And the time and the nurturing and the creative community and the mentorships from the professors and the unique interactions with your cohort Davis is where it's at.
Yeah.
Davis is, in my opinion, the creme de la creme. In terms of getting your educational goals met, because there are certain things that you need to be taught as a poet that are not just instinctual, just as there are things that are instinctual that cannot be taught. You either got it or you don't. It's the je ne sais quoi.
Right. And how about for you? How would you characterize some of the most important lessons or things that you discovered about yourself as a poet while you were here in Davis?
So at the time, I can remember being in Joe Wenderoth's poetics class and not understanding a word. It all just seemed like this huge foreign language. But through osmosis or something, it sank in. And years and years later, I would find myself bringing up these ideas that were introduced to me for the very first time here while I was a, you know, wide-eyed, bushy-tailed graduate student, not mm-hmm. jaded yet. And these ideas that were presented by the amazing professors at UC Davis really stuck with me. And those ideas you can build upon and you can expand upon and you can investigate them in your own ways. And that's really what the best kind of education is.
Excellent. Well, we're going to hear some effects of all that educating in Monica Storrs in just a moment, because she's joining me here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS. And after we take this quick musical break and hear an important public service announcement about the Linux Users Group of Davis, we'll be back and Monica will share with us a poem. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Stick around.
Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019. Or via email at root@lugod.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Monica Storrs is my guest. She's a freelance literary publicist, a teacher, and an artist. She holds degrees from Paris University, Portland State University, and an MA in poetry from the University of California, Davis. And she'll be reading tonight as part of the Poetry Night reading series, tonight taking place at Bistro 33 at 8:30 p.m. That's 226 F Street here in the city of Davis. If you'd like to find out more, visit poetryindavis.com. So, Monica, we've been talking about your poetry. Why don't we hear an example, a specimen? What poem do you have in front of you?
This poem has the word publicist, because we've been talking a little bit about publicity. So we'll start with one that has the word publicist in it. The title is Rock Star of the World Seeks Hipster Groupie for Non Sequiturs and Epic Music Battles. You wrote my name in rose petals that one time, but I lit them on fire. I was having a bad day. We listened to Meat is Murder while making vegan Thanksgiving and spoke in British accents all the rest of the day. You restored vintage cars during your rockabilly phase, and we dressed like every day was a photo shoot. You got all grease monkey on me while I mixed the cocktails. You speak Sanskrit, or at least one foreign language, because everyone knows that dead languages are the new romance languages. And I will drag you to that Cure tribute band show like a million times. Don't judge me, and you don't know what fun is. My laser unicorn band is famous, famous, I say. And when I come out on stage in my gold hot pants, you want to rock right the cellulite. I swam in that dress that one time and know more about everything than you, but I keep my mouth shut because that too is love. I prefer when you self-publish, but gosh, was I happy when you got signed to that label. We wrote letters to each other every day with the blood of hummingbirds. Even our fights have publicists. Drop the burrito, son. I think there's lard in them there beans. Hey, let's go on a road trip.
That's great. Tell me again the title of that one.
Rockstar of the World Seeks Hipster Groupie for Non Sequiturs and Epic Music Battles. So it's kind of a personal ad to the world.
Sure. And speaking of non sequiturs in the title of that last poem, I'm wondering how important you think non sequiturs are in poetry. And I'm thinking specifically of surprising, upending, or ignoring logic, continuity, and causation in poems.
Miniature ponies.
Yes. Got it.
It's very important because you want to both surprise yourself and surprise your reader. And more than just being clever or using non sequiturs, there has to be joy. And some of that joy includes being funny. It's okay to be funny and to talk about gold hot pants and cellulite in a poem. I think there's not enough gold hot pants or cellulite in poems these days, or lasers or unicorns or whatever. But while you're writing your own poetry and you're reading poetry, there should be joy and there should be humor. Not all the time, but it should be present at least part of the time. It's not all gloom and gray and shades of Bauhaus.
Right. Monica Storrs is my guest, and she'll be reading tonight at Bistro 33, beginning at 8:30 as part of the Poetry Night reading series. She'll be appearing with Stephen Gray and Sarah Page. You've worked with Stephen Gray and Sarah Page before. Are there other poets who have some of this humor, this non sequitur joy that we've been talking about, or other fine qualities that you might want to draw listeners' attention to?
There's a wonderful performance artist, spoken word artist named Charlie Getter, who works in San Francisco. His work is almost impossible to find published, but he mainly does performative poetry, and he is very, very funny. There's some certain venues like the Brainwash Cafe in San Francisco, which runs a open mic and show every single Monday night starting at 8 p.m., and there you will find a wide variety of people who incorporate humor and joy and the everyday and the mundane into their own work. As far as people that you could go to the library and check out on, check out books on, I mean, Gary Snyder is one. People don't often think about that, but Hay for the Horses, you know, is one of the funniest poems ever written. Charles Simic? Simic?
I say Simic, but I'm probably mispronouncing it.
I think Simic is right.
Yeah.
Yes, Clay Baines from SPD, I believe, has corrected me many times, but the C in Yugoslavian would be pronounced with a ch sound. But Charles Simic is funny as heck.
Yeah.
And we need more joy, especially nowadays. We need a little more joy, a little more brightness in our lives.
Absolutely.
Is there anyone you can think of?
I like those. Tony Hoagland is pretty funny.
Yes.
You know that guy?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Someone else who's funny, who's been having health troubles recently. It's not Dean Cain and it's not Herb Dean. Those are two different people.
And it's not Herb Cain.
Right. And it's not James Dean. There's another poet who I will reveal to you and everyone after this musical break, who is also quite funny and a master of the non sequitur and the clever juxtaposition. And I think that's something else that we need more of in this world. Let's hear David Hasselhoff on East Berlin here at KDBS. And when we return from that, more with Monica Storrs, who's here in the studio and who tonight at 8:30 will be at Bistro 33's Poetry Night Reading Series. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's David Hasselhoff, the Hoff.
When we were a kid, and all the people in East Germany, I took them to the set. I took them to the movie, and we released snakes in the theater, and we locked them in. And several of them were sucked to death by snakes, because I was afraid anybody else would see them. I'll sell them to you for 50 cents. It was a fluke that the wall came down. We didn't know how to shoot all these people.
And you're listening to the KDVS 90.3 in Davis.
You probably have flown before in a car, but the car never really left the ground, though, right?
Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Dean Young is the poet I was thinking of. He is a poet who, as I was just telling my guest Monica Storrs, delights readers with difficult poems that are filled with marvelous juxtapositions of images. He received his MFA in creative writing from Indiana University. And he's taught at the University of Iowa Writers' Workshop and a great number of other places. I think he's currently the chair of poetry at the University of Texas in Austin, though I know he's also had some health difficulties, heart problems, and money is being raised to, I believe, pay for a heart transplant for Dean Young. But an amazing poet who should be known by more people. So that's who I was thinking of when I said Herb Cain. Dean Cain, and all those other people.
Dean Young.
It's Dean Young. That's right. Well, do you have another poem that we can close with?
Let's go for an inspirational poem.
Great.
Wicked Wild, this is the title. Wicked Wild, or How Many Ninjas Do You Got on the Payroll for Scott Bransford? Oh, that teenage feeling. Come spray the silo side, cabron. Come kick tracks in the train yard, hustle in the fairy light with me. Weigh bags against bones we found by the river. filled pistols with acorns. Sharpen knives against books, better yet, against knowledge. Then take that knowledge and turn it towards ink. Some of us will ink our skin, making the ever-present visible against our bodies. Some of us will ink paper and give that which has no form a name. Those of us that ink our skin will go see the Magi who waves his wand in deafening silence, except for the hum of the machine and the rattle of paint in the tattoo needle. The music will be too loud as he carves a tear for each killing and a star for each birth. Those of us that ink the paper hold the hand when we hold the pen of every other writer who has come before us, and we reach towards the ones that come after. We, too, carve our sorrow on park benches, leave behind a trail we hope the birds won't eat. But instead, we go blaze or gun blaze. Our young men and now women sit street side, burning Bible paper for blunts, jumping each other in when they should be jumping for joy. Fill 40s with mineral water from sulfur springs. Wear red and blue like foothill gang blankets of wildflowers. Beat drums instead of beat downs. Stretch skins instead of dollars. Washing feet instead of checks. Shoot up Aero in and freebase the cracks in rocks. You can do it. I know you can.
That was Monica Storrs. She is a publicist, a teacher, and an artist. You find her often in Portland and San Francisco, but tonight you can find her at Bistro 33. She'll be reading her poetry with Stephen Gray and Sarah Page beginning at 8:30 p.m. Monica, that was wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely, and I'll see you tonight. Well, folks, stick around because I'm going to get Lee Rossi on the live line in just a moment. He will be reading this coming Sunday evening. Where, you ask? Well, I'll tell you. He'll be reading none other than at the Valona Deli Second Sunday Poetry Series, 1323 Pomona Street in Crockett. Crockett, 510-787-2022. Connie Post is the host of the Valona Deli Second Sunday Poetry Series. And the readers there have been really impressive. Often they're followed by the Terry Henry Jazz Trio. So that's coming up April 10th, 2011, this coming Sunday, Lee Rossi and Terry Lucas in Crockett. I'm going to get Lee Rossi on the telephone. You might want to stick around. This is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. This is KDVS, 90.3 FM, Davis.
For children in hospitals who face days or even weeks of recovery time, homework does more than keep them up to date in school. It can provide a sense of normalcy and focus. While most of a child's stay involves physical recovery and healing, schoolwork can help boost mental health. It can remind children that their familiar daily routine still exists outside the hospital. At Shriners Hospitals, this type of continuous learning is either provided by teachers from local school districts or by teachers on staff at the hospital. Shriners Hospitals provide free orthopedic and burn treatment to children under 18. If you know a child Shriners can help, call 1-800-237-5055 or visit www.shrinershq.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis. Lee Rossi is my next guest. Lee Rossi's latest book is called Wheelchair Samurai. His poems, reviews, and interviews have appeared in the Harvard Review, The Sun, Poetry Northwest, the Beloit Poetry Journal, and the Southern Poetry Review. He's a staff reviewer and interviewer for the online magazine Pedestal. A migrant technology worker, he currently lives on the San Francisco Peninsula, and this coming Sunday afternoon, beginning at about 4 o'clock, he'll be reading with Terry Lucas at the Bologna Deli Second Sunday Poetry Series in Crockett, California. Lee Rossi, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Hi, Andy. It's nice to be here.
It's good to have you here. And I'm glad that you'll be coming closer to, I guess, what we could call the Far East Bay to read in Crockett. It's a delightful poetry series. Have you had a chance to see any of the other events there?
Yeah, well, you know, it's like 60 miles from where I live, so I have to travel quite a distance to get there. But I've been there, you know, maybe a half a dozen times since I moved to the Bay Area 3 years ago.
That's great. So you certainly recognize its value.
It's a terrific site, you know, and they have really wonderful readers there all the time.
Wonderful. So you live on the San Francisco Peninsula. We were speaking with Monica Storrs about the poetry scene in her experience in San Francisco, which she described as intense but somewhat fragmented because of all the different schools there. And I'm wondering, as a migrant technology worker, if you partake in all the readings that are available in the San Francisco Bay Area, or if you have other sorts of communities as well as a poet?
Yes and yes.
All right.
The peninsula, it's a little more homogeneous than San Francisco itself. San Francisco has many, many, many poets, and, you know, they all kind of clump into different schools, but we tend to be sort of middle-aged and middle-class on the peninsula, at least the poets of my who I've met.
Uh-huh.
And I know a few poets down in the San Jose area, but, you know, I try to limit my driving, you know, minimize my carbon footprint, that sort of thing. So I don't get as far afield as, you know, some others do.
Absolutely. And I remember reading from your bio that you work in part at the online magazine Pedestal. Wondering if you could say a little bit about Pedestal and give people a reason to go check out that website.
Oh, well, Pedestal is a very interesting, very diverse kind of literary website. I mean, it's been around for 8-9 years now, and they do all kinds of things. They have poetry, short stories, reviews, essays, and one of the things that I like to do are interviews. And so for Pedestal, I've interviewed people like Robert Pinsky, Tony Hoagland, Dean Young. I heard you mention both of those guys earlier.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've enjoyed my chats with them. And I think people, those conversations are in the archive, and people can go there and look at those and find out, you know, how, you know, some of the leading contemporary poets think about poetry these days, and get some of their suggestions, their hints and tips for the best for how to craft your own poetry.
That's one of the reasons I've been doing this radio show for 10 years, because it gives me an excuse to talk to poets such as yourself And those are certainly three poetic heroes of mine that you just mentioned. Robert Pinsky was a professor of mine at Boston University.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a great guy.
And so, and that's certainly an important reason to keep up with the work that you do on a journal like Pedestal, so that you can interact with some of our best and brightest. How do you approach the work of the poet when it comes to publications? I mentioned some of the journals where your work has appeared. Do you do that systematically? Do you do that seasonally? How do you approach sending your work out?
You know, I do it systematically. You know, I try to do it at least twice a year to hit some of the journals that I'm interested in, you know, or let me put it this way. I learn as much about myself as I do about the journals from seeing who publishes me and who doesn't publish me.
Right.
You know, I think I've been in a pretty wide range of magazines, but the ones that keep taking my poetry tend to be a little edgier and a little less academic than some of the places that I'd really like to get into, you know, but that's who I am, I guess.
Well, those are good things to be. I would put those on my business card if that were true of me. So, you know, good for you. Why don't we, as my brother sometimes says, stop tuning and start crooning, and share with people a poem that can give folks a sense of you and also a sense of why they might want to head over to the Villona Deli this
okay.
coming Sunday at 4.
I want to read a poem which is called A Poem by Dean Young. And how this poem came to be was that I was reading a book by a friend of Dean Young's, a woman named Mary Ruffel, and it included a poem titled A Poem by Dean Young. Well, it turns out that really was a poem by Dean Young, and she just happened to include it in her own book. But I thought that was such a great idea that I would include a poem with the same title, but I would write the poem myself.
Excellent.
So I'm sort of channeling Dean Young in this poem. A poem by Dean Young. The reason why redheads, even the girls, go bald is that they're missing a gene, or is it a chromosome? Whenever a girl smiles at me, I see a row of pearly white tombstones. I prefer the stones at odd angles. I like my graveyards lived in. Have you ever seen a line of earrings dangling from some girl's ear like straps in a subway car? And haven't you wanted to grab one and hold on just as the car tipped full speed round the next curve? Whenever cracks appear in the blast furnace of my self-esteem, I know it's time for a new wife, the ultimate insulating material. If Dean Young looks real hard, he can see the carbon atoms in his girlfriend's nose as they formed under enormous pressure in stars that exploded 6 billion years ago. He always has a Kleenex handy. Listen up, graduate assistants. There's a dissertation waiting there. Every couple of weeks, Dean's young friend jabs a needle in her arm, flooding her Great Lakes with poison. The shrubbery of Versailles was Louis XVI's greatest poetry. Queen Marie's slippers were galleons of love, easily tipped in squalls of passion. Whenever I take an RPG round to the M1 Abrams tank of my self-regard, and the air's abuzz with microscopic particles of radioactive doubt, I know I need to punch a hole in some attractive woman's reserve. Given my limited shelf life, I grow nervous at the approach of my pull date. Nothing clears the air like 150-millimeter shells packed with humor and charm.
That's great. I found lots of humor and charm in that poem. Does Dean Young know that you've written that poem?
I don't think he does. I've hidden it from him, if you will.
I bet he'd get a kick out of it. There's a comedian, Kathy Griffin, who titled her last book an Oprah Book Club Selection. and there's something of that in the title of that poem.
Right.
Well, Lee Rossi, people will get to see you perform your work with Terry Lucas, who I'm about to get on the live line, this coming Sunday at 4 o'clock at the Valona Deli, which is at 1323 Pomona Street in Crockett, California.
That's right.
And Connie Post is the longtime host of the Valona Deli Second Sunday Poetry Series.
Yes, the fairy godmother of poetry in the East Bay.
Absolutely. Well, Lee, it's a pleasure to meet you on the phone. I look forward to meeting you in person. And thanks so much for sharing your work today on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Glad to do it, Dr. Andy. You take care.
Take care now. You all are listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. Stick around. I've got another poet on the docket, another one who will be reading Sunday in Crockett, to join us here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Before I introduce you to Terry Lucas, I'd like to tell you that something about sleep apnea, and that is that loud snoring can be a warning sign for sleep apnea, in which the airway becomes blocked during sleep. An estimated 19 million Americans are afflicted with sleep apnea, and only 5% have been diagnosed. Once diagnosed, it can be treated very effectively and painlessly, but left untreated, sleep apnea can increase risk of heart attack, stroke, and depression. For more information on home testing and sleep apnea, visit www.sleepsolutions.com or call 877-753-3776. A public service announcement made possible by KDVS Radio. Speaking of which, our fundraiser is coming up. Once a year, we ask you to dig deep into your pockets and see what you can do for one of the last remaining independent, free-form, community-driven radio stations in the United States. From April 18th to 24th, we will be setting aside much of our regular programming and trying out zany stunts, offering you fabulous thank you gifts, and reminding you in a series of iterative and soon familiar ways why KDVS is so important and so necessary as a cultural force here in California and everywhere else that our signal is heard via the World Wide Web. So that's the fundraiser, April 18th to 24th, here on KDVS. Terry Lucas is my guest. Terry Lucas grew up in New Mexico and has lived in the San Francisco Bay Area for over a decade. Four times nominated for a Pushcart Prize. His most recent work has appeared, or is forthcoming, in Green Mountains Review, Prime Number Magazine, Ale House, and the 2010 Organs and Vision and Speech Anthology. His chapbook, Making Up the Dead, was selected by Dorian Lau for second prize in the Palettes and Quills Chapbook Contest. A 2008 Poetry MFA graduate of New England College, Terry Lucas is an assistant editor for Fifth Wednesday Journal and the founder of the online poetry community, Post Poetry MFA, at http://postpoetrymfa.com. drandys.ning.com. Right now, he's ours. Terry Lucas, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you, Dr. Andy. It's a privilege to be here.
And let's remind folks that you'll be reading with Lee Rossi, who we just heard from, this coming Sunday afternoon at the Valona Deli Second Sunday Poetry Series. Have you seen other readings at that poetry series?
I have not had the opportunity to be there before. I met Connie Post online, actually, and then met her in person at a recent reading of the Marin Poetry Center.
She is a poet with a lot of energy, a lot of commitment to her fellow poets. And she runs a tight ship over there at the open mic portion of those poetry afternoons. People know what's expected of them. They jump right on. They say what they have to say in the form of a poem, and then they sit down. It's really delightful how many what the variety of voices one can hear at the Valona Deli Second Sunday Poetry Series. So anyone interested, Google that phrase, Valona Deli Poetry, and you can find out more.
Well, I'm excited to be a part of that venue.
Absolutely. So, Terry Lucas, tell me a little bit more about yourself. I know that you're part of the San Francisco Bay Area now. What brought you there from New Mexico?
Well, I didn't arrive directly from New Mexico. It
okay.
was a circuitous route. I was born in the Midwest and grew up in New Mexico. I have lived several other places, including Canada, for about a year. What ultimately brought me here was work, and I've basically stayed with a few other trips. I went to Chicago for a couple of years and attended Columbia College Chicago MFA poetry program, but I ended up here.
Wonderful. And what's your relationship with the poetry communities of the Bay Area?
My relationship with the poetry communities is that I do know a few selected poets. I've studied with Kim Adonizio. Mm-hmm. I have a handful of friends who write and are pretty active here. But I want to be more of a part of the poetry community here. I'm probably more a part of the poetry community in Chicago than I am here in San Francisco, even though I've resided here on and off for a decade. But I'm looking forward to being more a part of that community.
Excellent. And in terms of the work that you do online and off, I'm wondering if you could tell us about the post-poetry MFA community that you've created.
Yes, the post-poetry MFA community I created started with a handful of us who had graduated from New England College and basically asked ourselves, what's the next step? You may know, and many of your listeners may know, that it is very difficult for many MFA graduates to actually earn a living from the preparation that they've done for the degree and getting a teaching position or even getting their manuscript published. And I saw many of my friends and colleagues graduate with their MFA degree and after a year or so completely stop writing. And it was a frustrating experience to see many of my friends do that. So we started a collective group, and many others have joined from many other MFA programs to encourage one another and provide a place of resource, a place of encouragement of what to do after the MFA.
I love it, too, that you're encouraging people who are there with their MFAs, because that certainly elevates the quality of the writing that you'll be sharing, if you know, to the extent that you're sharing poems and, say, short stories with one another. But also it suggests that this is a community that needs some strategic help as well to find those rare teaching and writing jobs that allow them to continue to do the work that most empowered and thrilled them while they were earning an MFA.
That's a good point. And even further than that, you know, there are many writers who never really earn their living from writing or teaching, but we are committed to the work itself as an end in itself, even if it's there's never really a professional job that's the result.
That's great. Terry Lucas is my guest. He grew up in New Mexico, but has lived in San Francisco area for a decade. His work has been nominated for four Pushcart Prizes, and he's been published in a great number of journals. Terry, why don't we take a break to hear an example of your poetry?
Okay, I'd be more than happy to do that. This poem is entitled In This Room. It is actually the opening poem to my chapbook, Making Up the Dead. A long-playing record is turning on the turntable. For some time, speakers have been faithfully amplifying the scratches residing behind Art or Miles or Freddie with a metronomic ticking, the needle bumping up against the label, sending the tone arm veering back across the smooth gap like a saxophonist swaying on stage or a drunk driving a black-iced road on a new moon night, searching for the center line. But these are just thoughts in the mind. From another room, there might be the moaning of lovers over the hiss of knees caressing satin sheets. And who is to say which is more holy, heaven's music or hell's static electricity? The arm holding the needle in the groove, legs rising and falling out of time, moonlight flushing the dry flesh of curled leaves blowing across the road that has tangled itself in the hills like a necklace in my mother's long hair fanned out on my father's pillow. And what am I but the valley between them, a watershed of snowmelt and shade, a cry from one far peak to another, an avalanche of sound echoing between the walls of yet another room where a trembling index finger is lowering the stylus, aiming the needle for the edge of a black vinyl record.
That's wonderful. I love that it's an auditory poem, but you really appeal to all of the senses with that poem, even the kinesthetic sense of the drunk searching for the center line.
Well, thank you. It was a poem that evolved over time. I know you're a poet yourself, many poets listening. Some poets come as a gift. This one did not. It was wrought over many years, and the resulting poem turned out a lot differently from the one that began.
And isn't that preferable? I think it was Derek Walcott who once said that it would be sad indeed if poets knew precisely what their poems would be about.
Exactly.
But rather they should make those discoveries, and a lot of those discoveries come from combinations of words and phrases that couldn't have been anticipated.
Exactly.
So, wonderful. That line that I like so much about the drunk searching for the center line, I'm wondering what would be the center line that you're searching for as a poet, either accomplishments that you're hoping to have under your belt in the coming years or communities that you hope to grow or foster or be a part of?
You know, I think I would answer that center line more from my work rather than the results of that work in the world. The first poet I ever heard that was a world-class poet was William Stafford in 1970.
Mm-hmm.
And he read a poem that blew my socks off that night. It was called Near. And the final lines to that poem talk about fanning the flame, fanning what we already know into flame. And I would think that the center line, the goal of the center line for my work would be not only fanning what I already know, but fanning what I do not know and really discovering who I am and discovering more about, the voice of the universe because I have written.
Wonderful. That's a great way of putting it and something that all of us can reflect on. At least between now and Sunday, because it's on this coming Sunday that my current guest, Terry Lucas, will be reading with my last guest, Lee Rossi, at the Villona Deli Second Sunday Poetry Series. That's at 1323 Pomona Street in Crockett. I've read as part of that series, and very welcoming crowd, little bit of a hustle and bustle as you'd expect in a deli. You can get something good to eat and explore Crockett, which many of us have not had a chance to do. That's this coming Sunday, April 10th at 4 p.m. Well, Terry, it's been a pleasure to speak with you. I look forward to meeting you in person and to encountering more of your poems.
The pleasure's all mine, Dr. Andy. I appreciate the time, and what a wonderful experience for me and hopefully for you and your listeners for National Poetry Month.
Absolutely. Happy National Poetry Month to you, and I'll see you before too long.
Thank you very much.
Well, you all are listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We're going to hear once again from the sponsor of this radio show, a new sponsor for the show. And then when we return, I'll remind you that you can see Monica Storrs and others read tonight at the Poetry Night Reading Series at Bistro 33 starting at 8:30. This is KDVS.
This hour of KDVS programming is brought to you by Doctors Clinic for Men in Sacramento. Doctors Clinic for Men assists those unable to perform sexually to their own or partner's satisfaction. Treatments are offered which can resolve both premature ejaculation and erectile dysfunction. Doctors Clinic for Men's medication consists of only FDA-approved agents, and its staff has over 15 years' experience in this area of medicine. Confidential visits are conducted at the California Sutter Building, 28th and J Streets in Sacramento. The office can be reached at 916-551-1595 or toll-free at 877-493-8839. On the web at www.doctorsclinicformen.com.
Well, we are now upon the closing minute of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I'd like to thank my guests, Lee Rossi and Terry Lucas, who phoned in from various San Francisco Bay Area locations to tell us about the sort of poems that they'll be reading at the Villona Deli Second Sunday Poetry Series this coming Sunday afternoon at 4. And then especially Monica Storrs, who joined us here in the studio and who I'm looking forward to dining with, along with Stephen Gray and Sarah Page over at Bistro 33. That event starts at 8:30 tonight. That's a new time, 8:30. And we're expecting a crowd. Perhaps I'll see you there as well for some great poetry, an open mic that starts at 9:30, and lots of literary fun here in the city of Davis, here, home of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I've got more actors and directors on next week's show, but for this week, it's all poetry as part of National Poetry Month. Thanks very much for being a part of it. Stick around for some great music, and I'll see you next week here on KDVS. If you want to find out more about this show, visit poetrytechnology.com.